The gentleman with whom we are about to visit was described in a recent newspaper article in the lead sentence, which used the terms Iowa media legend. And so the name Bill Riley fits with that very well.
Thank you.
And Bill, it's in 50-some years of being in the same business, first time you and I have ever met.
First time.
And worked all of our careers in Iowa.
Indeed, and yeah. Very similar. So, you know, so we started working for free, practically.
Pretty close.
Indeed, yeah. And I've gone from there and had a great life. And
you're so ready. You're early as we'll go back and,
yes,
and sort
yes.
of fill in the blanks here, but just to sort of give a little perspective, your media association was with the KRNT stations in the morning.
Yes. I actually, before World War II, worked for the Department of Agriculture and the Office of War Information,
mm-hmm.
and I took releases to the radio stations in the Des Moines market.
Mm-hmm.
So I became familiar. Matter of fact, I went to WHO and Herb Plambeck, the famed...
another legend.
Yeah, the legend, certainly. Herb always said, this is back in 40, 41,
yeah.
He said, when the war's over, Bill, you come back because I want you to work here with me. And I loved that man, and I was planning on it. So...
Yeah.
I had contact with the radio stations through the Department of Agriculture and the Office of War Information with the releases. When I got out of the Army, I got out very early, October of 1943.
Mm-hmm.
And so I immediately went to WHO, found that Herb Plambeck was on assignment someplace around the world, war, you know, covering it. And so I thought, well, I walk across the street to KRNT at the Register and Tribune building. I did that. Went up the 12th floor and met a man named Chuck Logan. And he first thing he said was, Bill, I still had my uniform on, didn't own any civilian clothes. He said, Bill, you're out of the Army. Yes. He said, why don't you go home and not be looking for jobs and just go on home because you've been busy. I said, fine, I'm in no hurry. So I did. When I got home to my aunt's house, she said, there's a gentleman named Chuck Logan has called. I said, how could he? I just left his office. Well, at any rate, I called him back, and he said, Bill, come to work tomorrow morning, 8:30. And so I found out. And afterwards, I said, he had to clear with somebody about hiring me. So he couldn't say, I'm going to hire you right now. And I found out later, he said, good night. An able-bodied man... 1943, there wasn't anybody around. I'd wrecked my leg, and so was not very good for the military. So he hired me, and that's where it started, October 43, with KRNT. And as with Grant Price, we started in the newsroom.
Uh-huh.
I was a news editor, they called us, sounded good, and got $37.50 a week. Which was top of the pay scale at KRNT and the Register and Tribune, and started as an editor. Well, there were two radio stations, KRNT and KSO,
yes,
together owned by the same entity, the Register and Tribune. So in our newsroom, we were supplying two radio stations, wartime, with news shows. So we had news shows every hour. We had tremendous stations. It was amazing. We had commentators, George Suderman, Stanley Dixon.
These are local commentators.
These are local commentators. Stanley Dixon, George Suderman, John R. Irwin, three commentators, plus Glenn Law and all of the other announcers that read news. These were commentators. And so I worked in this little newsroom as a quote editor from like 9 or 6 to 12 or
you
whatever.
You weren't on the air at that time.
I was
you
not
were a
on
writer
the air.
And a...
I was not on the air. Hmm. I was tearing copy and writing leads.
Right.
For all of these announcers. And the commentators used to almost do physical combat over stories. And I was always watching that they were, because they would, we had AP and UP, and we had three carbons, I think. And so I would tear the sheets and put them on their spikes, and then I'd watch particularly George Suderman, I think. He'd be looking at his, and I'd see him reach over and pull the same story off Stanley Dixon so Stanley wouldn't have the story. And I'd say, now, George. So, at any rate, they were the commentators. This was busy, busy time during the war years.
Right.
And so I ultimately started on the air by doing a couple things. Number one, doing the sign-off news. Mm-hmm. Nobody, no announcer wanted to do the sign-off news. So I'd get a chance at 11:55 to read the news. That was the highlight of my life at that time. Another thing at KRNT, now we're thinking back in the 40s, they had a program that had been very popular. It was a live studio thing that we put on wire that didn't have tape. We just had wire recorders. We call it the Sunday Funnies. And all of us had a chance at the station. Everyone had a chance to do the Sunday Funnies, Register and Tribune. We would read parts for the children at home. And so I did that. So that's where I kind of started. Mm-hmm. Then we also had what they called the Rath Talent Review at that time. And 44, 45. I started announcing that more and more. And really, that's where I really got started on the talent end of it.
Okay.
And so that's how I kind of got going. And then more and more shows, and then came television and 50 years of it.
Well, Bill, you got yourself a radio job in the early 40s, started in the news department, and gradually worked your way into some on-air performance.
Right.
And then... And now you again, just to sort of so people say, well, yeah, talent scouts. Talent scouts became a very big thing in your life and in your career then, wound up at the state fair where it's still going.
Still going. I might digress just a moment, if I could, Grant, because talking about reading the Sunday Funnies, just, you know.
And incidentally, that was a fairly common radio program in those days.
Oh, yes.
In fact, Mayor LaGuardia used to read it.
Just going to say, during a blackout or something happened, or a snowstorm, Mayor LaGuardia read the Sunday Funnies in New York City. You can tell you we're the same vintage. The Sunday Funnies, I remember, they came to me, program director, and said, Bill, we got a show for you. Why don't you, every afternoon, Monday through Friday, at like 4:15 or whatever, on KRNT Radio, I want you to read the Tribune Funnies. Register and Tribune used to have the Register and the Tribune.
Right.
And read the Tribune Funnies. So I did. Every day, 4:15, read them live. And interestingly enough, a little high school girl came, and just the two of us did it together. She read the female voices, and I did the male voices. She rushed in from, I think, Roosevelt High School and came in every day to read them with me. And, and her name was Cloris Leachman.
For heaven's sake.
And the Academy Award winner
in
years past, and a wonderful person and great friend. Well, and so here was Cloris and myself, and we did the Funnies. So that's a little...
Bill and Cloris Leachman reading the Funnies on KRNT.
That's right. Every day about 4:15, the Tribune
incredible
Funnies.
Story.
So that's my claim to fame.
Well, that's a pretty good one.
Well, I tell you, Cloris, I've seen her just occasionally through the years, and we've done an occasional... telethon, and Cloris Leachman is as wonderful as she ever was, and just was she was delightful and
a wonderful career. So
she was a gorgeous high school girl.